This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a Day of Action 2021 special edition of the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. Wednesday, the 14th of April, was the day when all 72 clubs from all three divisions came together to demonstrate the impact that football has in positively changing people's lives. It's the fifth year the EFL has organised its Day of Action, and despite all the financial and logistical challenges of the past 12 months, clubs have still managed to continue providing vital support to some of the most vulnerable people living in England and Wales. There have been food bank deliveries, projects to tackle loneliness and mental health, support programmes for refugees and asylum seekers, to name but three. And just to share some specific examples, Preston North End helped to bring together its multicultural community by educating locals on the importance of the festival of Ramadan. Portsmouth delivered its holiday cook-along course, educating young children about the importance of healthy eating. And Tranmere Rovers' first team squad paid garden gate visits to isolated residents of their local area. All brilliant examples of the unsung work EFL clubs do at the heart of their communities. And we're going to hear about some more of them from some of the people involved on this Day of Action 2021 special edition of the official EFL podcast. To coincide with the Day of Action, the EFL has named its PFA Community Players of the Season. The awards recognise the positive impact players can have off the pitch and are given to those who go above and beyond what would normally be expected. In the Sky Bet Championship, the award went to Will Volks of Cardiff City. In Sky Bet League One, to Alex Rodman of Bristol Rovers. And in Sky Bet League Two, he's one of the longest serving players in the Newport County squad and has always demonstrated his commitment to supporting the club's community projects. He's their ambassador for their mental health program, We Wear the Same Shirt, where participants take part in online discussions and quizzes every Thursday, when he's personally attended more than 30 times in the past 10 months. And Matty Dolan has done this while looking after his two-year-old daughter at home while his wife's at work, and has left a big impression on the people that he's met. Why he's getting involved in all these community schemes? Why has it always been so important to you, Matty?
I think it's massive. I think obviously if we can help that tiny bit, and look, it's no real effort from us as such. Obviously people have got other commitments, but if we can kind of give that little bit of time to help others, and I think the work that, especially this end we wear the same shirt, I think the work that Norman does, it's fantastic, and it's a pleasure to be involved in it.
Yeah, let's just give him a proper name check. Norman
Parcell.
Right. So he runs that particular scheme for Newport County? Or?
Yeah, so he runs that. He does so many events, but he sort of runs the We Wear the Same Shirt alongside with a lot of others, but he sort of, he's the figurehead of it. But and honestly, the work that he does, his attitude towards it, his enthusiasm towards it, it's brilliant. And like I said, it's easy for us to get the awards and get a little trophy and that, but Norm makes it so easy for, I think, pretty much any player. There wouldn't be anyone who's got a bad word to say about Norman, and it's fantastic. So he deserves a lot of recognition in this.
Do you know what, Matty? I do a lot of these kind of conversations, not just with EFL clubs, but I do them around the world with various things that I'm involved with. There is so much going on beneath the surface of you 22 players kicking a ball around for 95 minutes. You know, it's quite staggering the sort of tentacles that football has into the community and inspiring people that might be going through a challenging time.
Yeah, I think it's massive. Obviously, you only really see the immediate kind of impact that, like you said, 22 players and managers and staff. But I think even if you look at our home games since the lockdown's happened, Norm's got everyone from the We Wear the Same Shirt campaign doing all the ball boy work and things like that. And like you said, the impact that it does have, it's so positive that it's such an important thing. And if we can dedicate a Zoom call once a week, or when we are allowed to do the visits, a visit a week or whatever it may be, it's massive.
I mean, is it something that is intuitive to you to get involved? Is it something that you get taught in your early days, in your case, as you were coming through at Middlesbrough? What happens that gets you locked in? Because let's be honest, footballers, like everybody else, will have different degrees of what they want to get involved with and what don't. But where did you catch the bug, so to speak? At what point?
Yeah, I think Middlesbrough. I think obviously the likes of Dave Parnaby teaching you not only as a footballer, but as a person.
I better just explain, this is Borough's former academy director. So there's clearly direction from those at the top in academies to set the tone for a player's career?
Yeah, I think so. And like you said, not so much as the things you do on the pitch. It's the things that you do off the pitch. And like I said, Dave Parnaby and everyone at Middlesbrough was massive on that. And it's something that I've been lucky to be able to carry on and, like you say, have an impact. And sort of when I came to Newport, Norm's made it so easy to have that impact. And it's something that I take great pride in, kind of as a person myself. And it's something that puts a smile on my face, I think, as well. That, like you said, during the lockdown and the tough periods of time, them little quizzes, like, they perk you up. And it's one of them things where, look, if I can dedicate an hour or whatever it may be, it's something that I'd be more than willing to do and something that I'll enjoy.
How challenging are the issues in the Newport area at the moment? What kind of things are you aware of that the club have had to get involved in, Matty?
Well, I think, to be honest, the club is fantastic on that side of it, whether it be, I think the players share it out very well as well, whether it be a Zoom call here and there. I think at the start of the lockdowns, it was going to deliver food to the food banks. I think we, as a football club, and as the players, we all our fine money, which might normally go on a little bit of a Christmas do, we donated that to the local food bank. So I think Newport itself has been fantastic. And look, I think everyone's going to struggle. It's been well documented about the struggles, maybe the impact of the first lockdown and then the lockdowns following. It's had a real effect on people across the UK. So I think the work that we've done, the issues are there, and we've tackled them head on, and we've done the best that we can with the situation.
You've seen at first hand some participants and how they've changed as a result of yours, the rest of the players, the club's intervention in their lives.
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, I can only speak from what I'm seeing, but say we're on them quizzes, someone wins the quiz, or there'll always be a spell where we chat, how's everyone feeling and what's everyone doing this week? And you can see, like, Norm, everyone will set little goals for each other, and it's something to look forward to and something to strive for. Maybe give a bit more of a purpose when, it's like you said, lockdown is tough. And if you've got them little targets and, like I said, them little conversations with people that aren't in your four walls, then it has been massive.
Does it make you realise how fortunate you are as an individual to be part of a structure like a football club is, where you have got the squad and the management team as your sort of day-to-day companions, and then, all right, obviously fans at times can give you pelters as well as say nice things, not just you, Matty, I mean any footballer, but you do feel part of something, you do feel there are people around you, but let's be frank, there are others out there that are in far less fortunate situations.
Yeah, I think it's massive. I think initially as a footballer, you're in a very privileged position and you've got to use that in the right way. But like you said, even if you look at kind of the timescale of the lockdowns, we came back earlier. Our normality was sort of reintroduced a bit earlier. We're in a privileged position. We're professional footballers. I have an argument with my father-in-law all the time. I'll be like, oh, I'm off to work. And it's, oh, you're going to kick the ball with me, mate, are you? Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of It's that kind of job where it's your dream job, you dream about it. So, like I said, if you are in a privileged position and you can help others out, I think it's vitally important. And like I said, it's one of them things that me as a person and sort of growing up, parents, football clubs that I've been involved in, it's always something that's been encouraged and something that I've always done.
You clearly get a buzz from it. Do you foresee this as being a direction that your life might go after football? Obviously a few years away yet, Matty, but could you see yourself potentially getting involved in stuff where the community could be helped? Could it become a future career direction for you, do you think?
Yeah, it's something that I would obviously like to continue to do. And if I can be of any help going forward, then I'll always be there, kind of thing.
congratulations on your own award, and obviously in particular, well done to you, well done to the rest of the players, to Mike Flynn, the manager, to the club itself for all the unsung work you do. It's absolutely brilliant that you've got recognised. Congratulations, Matty.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
The EFL Trust's Extra Time Hubs are run at 12 clubs around the country and are funded by the National Lottery and Sport England. They aim to bring retired and semi-retired people together in a bid to combat loneliness and inactivity. Let's meet Bernie Green. She's a lifelong Wigan Athletic fan who's been part of her club's Extra Time Hub for a number of years. And we're going to have to start on a sad note, Bernie, because you got involved with the club, well, as a result of one of those life events that none of us want to go through. You lost your husband.
My husband, Dennis, we'd been married for 50 years, actually, when he died. So can you imagine what that was
Congratulations.
Like?
Congratulations. That's an amazing achievement.
I know. It was sad, though. He was a Wigan Athletic supporter as well. He was really keen. Right. And he used to take the children when they were young. And we used to go together when it was Springfield Park.
You
know, the very early stadium. We used to go together then. It was a big event for us. We loved it.
Yeah.
You know, when we were courting, so you can imagine how long ago that was.
Wow. I can also imagine, Bernie, the huge hole that leaves in your life when your soulmate, your partner is gone.
I've spoken about that, you just don't know what to do with yourself, really, because he'd been ill for 5 years and I'd looked after him. And then it was like, well, what what do I do now, you know? So that's when I read in the paper about the Extra Time Hub at Wigan Athletic, and I thought, this is it. I did, really, honestly. I thought, wow, Wigan Athletic, because, you know, I've been a supporter and also a season ticket holder for many years. And obviously the stadium was like a second home to me. So the thoughts that we were going to meet in the stadium and like-minded people, you know, Wigan Athletic supporters, hopefully. So I made, it was hard, though, to go on your own.
I was just about to say to you. But I mean, Bernie, just for the benefit of those that are listening, and sadly there might be the odd bereaved person that's tuning in, how long after Dennis's passing was it that you plucked up the courage to go on your own to this?
Yeah, I think it would be probably about 4 or 5 months afterwards, you know, when we'd got over all the paperwork that you have to do, which is awful, you know, telling everybody and the funeral and... It's and getting rid of things, and it's just so hard.
It's dreadful,
you know. So I thought, let's go.
I think you make an important point. It's a big step, isn't it, to stride out on your own, to go into an environment that you were familiar with from a footballing perspective, but one that perhaps would compound the sadness because you'd been there with Dennis before, but also to go into a room full of strangers and have to start making new networks, new friends.
Yes, and that's what I did, which was really great, because the table that we sat at, you know, you get to know everybody, and I made really good friends with Gloria and Brenda and Linda and Beattie, and even outside of the hub environment, we used to meet up, you know, when things were normal, and go out together for a nice lunch and a chat. You know, it kind of enlarged my friendship circle, and that was the really good part of it.
Yeah, because when you're in a relationship for as long as you are, you can be self-contained and take yourselves off to a point where maybe you're not got individual pursuits, I guess. You become so inextricably linked that you don't have that kind of independence of different activities of your own. Would I be right, Bernie?
Yes, and you have to make the effort. It's not easy, because everything's telling you not to, but you know you have to, because life goes on. It's sad to say, but of course it does. And let's be honest, you've got to make the best of things.
Yeah.
And this was way before lockdown. Nobody knew what was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really glad that I did it. It's been amazing.
Well, it's really inspirational to hear you talking about it. I mean, what kind of activities do you get involved with there? Is it purely social, a nice cup of tea? Obviously with the ladies from lunch, it might be a little bit stronger. Gloria, Brenda, Beatty, and who was the other one? I missed the other name.
Linda.
And Linda, wow.
Yes,
okay.
we used to meet outside. Yeah. But yeah, because the quizzes caused quite a lot of controversy, as you can imagine.
No. What, you weren't contesting the answers, were you Bernie Green?
Yes.
You were contesting the answers?
Well, let's just say there was a great deal of argument about what the answers actually were. Then there was the activities, of course. I started to play table tennis, which I hadn't done for, I don't know how many years. And, do you know, I really, really enjoyed it. I'm not very good at it, but I really enjoyed it. And believe it or not, I had this terrible shoulder pain, neck pain. This is true. And I was frightened to use, you know, my hand. But anyway, I thought, oh, go on. It's hurting so much. What more can happen? And believe it or not, it cleared the pain, cured my pain. It's true, this. I can't believe it.
That is absolutely brilliant. Tell me something, Bernie.
Yeah.
What do you think Dennis would think of what you've done since his passing and the way you've made new networks and things?
I know. He wouldn't be surprised.
That's good.
He'd just say, oh, she's off.
Have you always been a kind of...
outgoing,
Yeah.
Very much so.
I mean, despite your sadness, glass half full sort of person?
I think so. I mean, not all the time. Obviously, there's been some dreadful times, especially with the lockdown. It's been awful, really.
I was going to say, I mean, have you mastered the art of Zoom? We've managed to get you on the line for this special edition of the EFL podcast. Have you mastered the art of a Zoom call and things like that?
I love the Zoom calls. That's kept me going, to be honest. But I wouldn't do it at the beginning because I didn't want to get... I thought it would be too difficult, you know, and I was really against it. Well, I still am in a way because I'd rather speak to someone face to face than, you know, than look at them on a screen. But anyway, in the end, I was persuaded to do it and I've never looked back.
Amazing. Can you imagine if you hadn't made friends with Gloria and Brenda and Beatty and Linda, can you imagine how much tougher lockdown would have been for you?
I know, because some of their stories were very similar to mine, you know, some very upsetting stories. And so we were able to help each other, you know, support each other, because we could talk about what had happened to us quite openly, you know, which helps.
It does.
A lot.
I can't help but think when I hear of your own personal story, your life with Dennis, of the kind of journey you went on as a couple over those 50 years, but also the highs and lows of being Wigan Athletic supporters across that period of coming into the league and the promotions and the cup
final. Don't forget that.
I know. To
and
then
I just
some
love
of the
fact we keep beating Man City. We're their bogey team, literally.
Well, listen, I'll tell you something. If my own football team could beat Man City whenever they play them, I'd be shouting about it as well. But, it just goes to show how our football club weaves in and out of our own lives through the highs and lows, the births and deaths of our own life, doesn't it?
Exactly. And my children, my grown-up children, they come as well, obviously. I sit in the middle. I've got my son on one side, my daughter at the other. And when they've been sort of skint and had no money, I've paid for the season tickets just so we can all be together.
Oh,
which
that's
is
a
lovely.
Brilliant story. It really is. But I tell you what, I guess the bonds are strengthened ever more that in your hour of need, your football club, Wigan Athletic, were able to reach out into your world and help you on the road to recovery or the road to a new direction for your life, Bernie?
Because it doesn't stop when you leave the stadium, you know, because obviously we've been in lockdown for a long time and they've kept in touch so beautifully, honestly. The phone calls, the visits, the goodie bags. And the idea is to encourage you to keep active in mind and body. Yeah. And the good thing is anything that they ask you to do, they provide you with the, you know, the necessities to do it, whether it's an Easter bonnet or weights or elastic bands, you know, to do your exercises. Or I know some people have had the watches that count the steps.
Those have
been provided. But my phone does it anyway. And that's been good, getting out to do the steps, because we send in every week how many steps we've done. Apparently we've done over 1 million steps, just our group. Well, we've been all over, all around England. And we're going to Ireland next week, apparently, in steps.
Is that right? Well, that is amazing, because actually they do say that 55 is the tip point when people significantly start to slow down in terms of activity.
And
I wonder whether this has given your whole life just that extra spur. You've had to make the effort on the road to recovery from losing Dennis, but I wonder whether the activity is giving you extra quality of life yourself, just being not just socialised, but actually moving a little bit more and stuff like that as well, or a bit more than you would have done, Bernie.
And I think it gives you an idea of what else you can do, you know, things that you never thought you would do or be interested in. And suddenly you are. And that's led me to actually join other groups and clubs, you know, to expand on that. Especially
go on, share with
tennis.
Us. Keep it clean, of course, Bernie, but share with us what kind of clubs you've joined.
Well, a very similar club. In that it's for retired and semi-retired people.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well, so, but they do things, a lot more things, but it's a little bit more expensive, let's put it that way.
Tell me something, Bernie. Had you any idea that your beloved football club was doing quite such great work in the community before you got involved?
I have to be honest, because I suppose if you didn't need it, you didn't think about it so much, you know, as regards that side of it. I mean, outside of the pitch, outside of the ground. But just being part of Wigan Athletic is just so great. I can't tell you. Super.
Bernie, it's been an absolute inspiration talking to you. Do you mind if I ask you a very, very personal question?
Okay.
How old are you?
75.
Wow. I tell you what, I'm going to ask our producer Dave, to find out what it is that you have as your regular tipple. And I'm going to have you don't drink at all?
Well, only, when my daughter comes, she brings a bottle of wine and I'll have maybe one.
One glass.
That's the weird thing about me. I don't need to drink, you know, to have courage or whatever. I'm quite happy.
You just suck
without
in.
Without it.
You suck in the fervour and the excitement of life. And you've passed it on to us. You've been an absolute inspiration, Bernie Green.
Oh,
thank you very much for joining us. Give our love to Gloria, to Brenda, to BT, and to Linda.
And Linda,
And Linda. Lovely to talk to you, Bernie.
Can I just say, Lorraine and Jonathan, my children, or they'll never forgive me.
You just did. Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you.
This is the official EFL podcast.
EFL clubs deliver over 600 job opportunities for young unemployed people through Kickstart, which is a government-funded programme. 22-year-old Henry Whittaker recently started a work placement through the scheme. He's interested in sports journalism and he's currently supporting Harrogate Town's media manager in the press office. And I'll tell you what, Henry, this is a huge step in the direction of where you'd like your career to go to, isn't it?
Probably the perfect start. My mum said to me, I've landed on my feet. That's what she told me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, do you know what? You absolutely have. And a club as well, I guess, that is just looking for those extra sets of hands, because the progress has been so huge over the last 2 or 3 years that they're probably running to stand still, aren't they?
Yeah, it's been crazy, to be honest. I mean, last year I helped out on a match day, just as a match day volunteer, doing social media work with like the tweets or a match report or a post-match interview. And then when we got promoted, my boss, Hal Boxall, he said to me, like, we're going to need more hands. There's just so much more to do now. And it was a case of how can they sort of get me in and, you know, keep the costs all right with the club. And luckily the Kickstart scheme was the best way for that.
What have you learned since you've been at the club? How has it helped you to progress by being involved for those 25 hours?
It's just that experience. I mean, I think the best way to learn, in my opinion, is being thrown into the deep end at times. And, you know, at times it's just been me at training with the players or with the gaffer, doing interviews, creating content. And it's just the best way for me to learn, just trying things out, learning from mistakes and just trying to get better each and every week, really.
Oh, don't say learning from mistakes to me. You know I'm going to pick on that and go, come on then, share with us. I'll have your positives in a minute, but what was one of those moments where you thought, oh no, why have I done that? You know, learning on the job and all that.
Yeah, I think one of them is the live tweeting. You've got to make sure that's exactly right, yes. 100% of the time. I mean, if you get the score wrong in one tweet, you can have a few comments on the Twitter saying, hang on, what's happened here? Didn't know we had VAR in League Two, all this and that. So, so that's funny.
Yeah. And positives, what one piece of work has made you most proud, Henry?
I've been very lucky to be able to do a lot of long feature program interviews this season with all the first team, which are about 2,000 words long. And the most recent one I've just done is with John Stead. And what we decided to do was pay tribute to his friend Jordan Sinnott, of course, tragically died last year following his attack. So we sat down for about half an hour and just, you know, paid tribute to Jordan. And I've written out to go in our match day program for the match against Bradford on Saturday.
Which again, it's a test for you as a budding journalist just to get the tone right on that, isn't it? Because it's an everyday format, a match day programme article that you want to be accessible, but it's a tough and sad read as well by the sounds of that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's the first time I've ever done an interview like that. And, you know, John was great with it, but getting the tone right, I had to learn quickly with that one during the interview, but I think I'm happy with how it's turned out. I think we all are.
Yeah. How was life before you got involved with Harrogate? And what's been your sort of education path that's brought you to this point, Henry?
So I think I first wanted to get involved in sort of sports writing or journalism at the age of about 14, I think it was. That's what I remember saying to my mum and dad, oh, I want to get involved in football clubs. And then when I left high school, Weatherby High School, I'd done a little bit of writing for the school with whatever was going on. And I went to Leeds Beckett University to do journalism there. So I spent 3 years there, and funnily enough, my journey with Harrogate started in my first year at university. I remember it was our first semester, and we had an assignment to do. It was about 800 words, our first online article to get assessed. I was thinking, what sports club or football club could I do it on? And at that time, Harrogate Town had just turned full-time. So I got in contact with the media manager, Hal, and he was more than happy for me to come down and speak to Simon Weaver, the manager, and then from there, it's just taken off. I kept in contact with the club. And then the second year, I did a couple more interviews and it's moved on from there. And I left university, finished my degree last summer, came out of a first. And then it went straight into the role of Harrogate.
That's brilliant, isn't it? So there's a bit of self-containment, self-propelling, bit of hustling in there along the way. But I guess the Kickstart scheme, what it has done is allowed you to take that first step on the professional ladder.
Yeah, I think it's about getting that foot in the door, isn't it? And getting on that ladder.
Is that tough, Henry? Have you got lots of pals out there that are just struggling to get a foothold in the industry?
I was literally speaking to my family yesterday about this because I told them I was going to be on this podcast. And my mum was like to me, how many people of your mates who are wanting to do this have actually got into the role? And I couldn't name any. And it's really tough. It's so competitive, is this industry. You'll know as well as anyone. So the Kickstart scheme has been a saviour, I think, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, most definitely. Just getting that foothold and getting going and being able to try and start establishing yourself. What would be the next steps for you then, having had this brilliant underpinning, Henry?
Well, I think at the end of the season, I'm going to sit down with my boss and we'll see what the next step is, whether that's to go on to a more full-time basis or whatever that may be. But long-term or in the future, I want to stay in sports. I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy going to the matches and writing and reporting and doing like the little features like with John Stead or something. It's a great job.
Yeah. Do you ever imagine where you might be right now were it not for the scheme that has helped you? Were it not for the ability of EFL clubs to sort of help and do their bit?
Well, I'm not too sure. I mean, I would have still, if I could, done stuff with a football club in a volunteer role. But in terms of like actual employment, I think I would have been struggling because there wasn't really the jobs out there.
Yeah. So it's kind of given you an esteem as well that having had this foothold, it's just allowed you to feel that little bit better about yourself. And as a result, I guess we get a little bit of internal momentum and inspire ourselves to continue on our life's dream journey.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I actually graduated during the summer and there was obviously uncertainty about what was going to be next in terms of COVID, were places going to open up and were there going to be jobs, and sitting around thinking, what is my next step going to be? Because it's all right when I was at university doing the role as a volunteer with the football club, but once you're out in the big wide world, you sort of need to get some money in, don't you? So yeah, as I said, the Kickstart scheme, it's been great for me, really has.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are a lot of outlets out there. There's a lot of potential for people to put their work out. They can self-publish, they can use social media, etc., etc. But as you start to put some years on the clock, you need to think about where your income streams are going to come from in order to maintain the infrastructure that any adult has to do, Henry.
Yeah, exactly that. I try not to think about it too much, like what it could have been if I wasn't involved with Harrogate, because you know this type of work is what I love to do, and I'm one of them. If I don't love what I'm doing, I can't really do it.
Well, look, listen, you've made step one, long way to go, but again, just goes to show, doesn't it, the work that EFL clubs do behind the scenes, the schemes that are available if you go out and try and get on them and get involved in them. It's been lovely to talk to you. Good luck with taking my job in the future.
Thanks, Ben.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clint.
Let's end our whistle-stop tour around some of the best stories from this year's EFL Day of Action by meeting a man who's been on a long journey with Derby County's Community Trust and has turned his life around as a result of the support he's received. He faced a battle with lonely depression after going through a divorce late in life. Tony Ward now actively helps out other members of the local community to combat isolation and loneliness. You've been through a tough time, Tony, to get to this point.
Well, I did do. I mean, it's about 5 years ago now that was all going on, and I've been involved in walking football one way and another now for the last 5 years, and that was the beginning of getting involved with Derby County Community Trust. And basically what's kind of happened is going from a point of kind of being Billy No Mates, if you like, I now have lots and lots of friends. In fact, I've just come back from playing walking football and there was 30 of us there, and I know them all, and I would say they're all mates. So it's a great thing to be involved in.
Yeah, sounds as though you're involved in the local tractor club as well there for a second, or motorcycle club or whatever it was.
I think that was just somebody going by, and I live on a very quiet road normally.
Well, what do you know? It just goes to show, doesn't it? You never can time these things. Do you think your situation is one that a lot of people find themselves in? What kind of age are you, Tony, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 70.
You're 70. Well, you sound great, if I may pay you that compliment. But I wonder whether the older that we get, we do become a little more entrenched in our sort of relationship with our spouse, partner. It is, along the way, a matter of forsaking some of the friends we have, or perhaps we don't push out and have our own interests. So if something happens like happened to you, we do find ourselves quite isolated and without people to turn to. Would that be fair?
I think it's fair. I think there's lots of reasons why people end up in situations like that. And definitely, you know, often I used to actually say that my work and my family was all I needed, and my circumstances changed at the same time that I actually finished working. So suddenly, you know, that thing of not having work, not having a purpose, not having a focus, and then, you know, you spend some time looking at blank walls. So things like what Derby County Community Trust do and other EFL trusts around the country can be invaluable, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's that hit, isn't it, from kind of work is all and keeps us, you know, going throughout the week to suddenly finding there's a complete, well, it's proper cliff top drama, actually. And I've done a lot of work in this area with sports stars who go through it as well. At the end of glittering careers, Tony, they suddenly find themselves without the structure that elite sport brings. But it's exactly the same for anybody that retires, let alone loses a life partner along the way.
Yeah, it is one of those things, and you don't anticipate it all to come. You think it's going to be a bit more gradual than that. But it's like anything else. You've got two choices. You can either sort of wallow, or you can, you know, find some sort of way of turning things around, of changing things. And I was really lucky because I, by sheer chance, came across the Community Trust. Hadn't got a clue that Derby County, the football team I've supported all my life, had anything like this. And I got involved in it because I was looking to do some fitness work. And then from there, sort of got involved in all sorts of things. And obviously 2 years ago, we started the EFL Up, which is, as you more than likely know, is kind of a club for people over 55 who sometimes suffering from or potentially can become quite isolated. And so I got involved with helping organise that, and that was going from strength to strength until obviously we had the pandemic, which changed everything.
And you had to start sort of re-engineering it all as well, just to have some sort of synergy with people that might be listening and might have gone through a similar experience to you, Tony. Did you allow yourself to wallow for a little while before you had this fortuitous sort of drop of information from Derby County and how they might be able to help?
I did. I had a particular Christmas where I think I got as low as I've ever been in my life. But I don't know, it was probably the fact that I've always played football. I've always supported Derby. So there was always, I found walking football, you know, guys who play football and they finish in the 30s, and then I played five-a-side until I was in my 50s. You think it's all over. And then suddenly this thing called walking football gets invented, if that's the term, and there's another chance. And of course, the minute that you do something like that, you can't help but meet people. And the thing that really is one of the things you miss about playing football is the banter and the friendliness, and of course you're able to get that. And that was the beginning that kick-started me wanting to do other things.
And that's given you your socialisation by having the points of focus for matches, I guess, or for kickabouts. And also what? A social structure as well. In normal times, you have got people you can go for a walk with or go and have a pint with or whatever it is that takes your fancy.
Well, long before this, when we started playing walking football, but then we would stop for a coffee afterwards, and there was a group of us of about 12, and we set ourselves up a WhatsApp group, and we called ourselves the Grey Boys and the Grey Boys Coffee Club. And from that, we now are close friends. Our partners are involved in things. We've been to the theatre, we've been to the cinema, we go out for meals. And it's literally from going from, as I said, pretty much Billy No Mates to having a group of friends who are extremely supportive. I moved house a year and a half ago, and it was one of those Friday afternoon moves where, you know, everything's, you're waiting for that phone call. And we got to a point where we had like half an hour left before we had to take the van back that we'd hired. And I sent a message out to the Grey Boys, and within 20 minutes, 11 people were here helping me unload a lorry.
Oh, and that's brilliant.
That's all come through this connection with Walking Football and the Community Trust. And it's funny, I used to play Walking Football before I came across the Community Trust, and they were lovely lads, great guys. But the Trust and these football trusts around the country, the work that they do, I mean, somebody actually sent me a text yesterday saying he didn't understand, he didn't realise there was so much goodness that he'd find by playing football with the lads from the Trust. And I think that's probably what it's all about. You know, it's the camaraderie, it's the support and the friendship that you get. And all that is connection, you know, all that is feeling valued and feeling like you've got a part to play.
You mentioned the word partners. Tony, would I be right in thinking there is a current Mrs. Ward now? Is there somebody on the scene? Has your life turned around on that front?
It has, thank you. We haven't tied the knot, but I'm happily in a relationship. My life is, you know, as good as it can be, I think. And that's the main thing. And to be 70 and have, you know, be in a good relationship and have more friends than I've ever had in my life, which is amazing, is just, you know, a wonderful place to be, really. And what that means is sometimes that you do, I think one of the things when you've been through something is that you realise that there are other people who are going through similar things or having problems. That means that the work that you can do as a volunteer for things like the Community Trust, or, you know, that has a value in itself, because you feel like you're passing on some of the things maybe you learned on the journey.
Yeah, so it's giving you a sense of purpose. It's being able to say to others, I've been where you are now, and this is how I dealt with it. And at the same time, you're doing good for those that, you know, let's be honest, Tony, at your age, you'll have realised sometimes it's just our turn to be on the ropes. There just ain't no way out of it. There are moments in life when we're on the ceiling and there are other moments when we are firmly punched in the stomach and we just have to find a way to stroll on. Have you found that?
Well, I think that's right. And I think one of the things you can probably never do is think you know what someone else is going through, but at least what you can do is listen and you can you know, hopefully say the, you know, the right words. And I do think also what you do learn is where the signposts are. You learn where to say to people, if you're going through this, have you thought about that? Or have you tried that? You know, and I've found that really people just, they just like to think that somebody's listening, that somebody's bothered. And, these people that we work with the Community Trust, I don't think any of them are there doing a job for the money, because they literally are just very, very nice people. And all you ever get, when I worked, I worked in a particular industry where I used to say every interaction with us should be a warm interaction. And I find that with the Community Trust, that whenever you're having dealings with them, it always feels like they're bothered. It always feels like they care. It always feels very personal. And I think that's a really good thing.
What a fantastic way to finish our chat. Thanks for sharing such an inspirational story, Tony.
Okay then, Clem. So it's been lovely. Thank you.
What a fantastic story of redemption. I do hope you've been inspired by that tiny glimpse into a fraction of the unsung work the EFL 72 clubs do across their local areas. At the time of recording, since March 2020 and the start of the coronavirus pandemic, clubs have collectively distributed 1.4 million food parcels. They've donated over 2,000 laptops and tablets to people facing technology poverty, and club staff, including players, have had in excess of 500,000 outgoing and incoming calls with supporters and vulnerable people. Thanks for sharing their stories to Tony Ward, to Henry Whittaker, to Bernie Green, and Skybet League 2's Community Player of the Year, Matty Dolan. And actually, just on the subject of awards, the EFL have also announced the Your Move EFL Community Clubs of the Year in the North East and Yorkshire, That award went to Sunderland, in the Northwest to Blackburn Rovers, in the Midlands to Port Vale, in the Southeastern East Portsmouth, in the Southwestern Wales Bristol Rovers, and in London to Watford. That's it for this Day of Action 2021 episode. If you'd like more information on how you might be able to receive help, or you'd like to volunteer, then please check out the EFL's website or contact your local club, or you can get in touch with us. Our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name is Mark Clement. Thanks very much for listening. Join us again soon for another episode of
the official EFL podcast.